I'm joined by a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, also a national college football insider for The Athletic, a New York Times bestselling author. He is everywhere. He is busy. Bruce Feldman, back in the jungle. Bruce, great to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Good to be on with you today.
It's good to have you on, Bruce. As always, lots to cover. You know, it's kind of tough to draw conclusions, Bruce, from the first week of college football, but now that we're entering the third week, are you starting to get a sense of which teams are legit and which ones are not?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think a lot of it is kind of what we expected. Alabama and Clemson and Georgia look like they are amazing talents and just so much deeper than I think just have they're starting 22, but really the depth of the rosters kind of shine through. The thing that I think we're going to find out is a couple things. So first of all, you know, I think Oklahoma and Kyler Murray has been a lot sharper than some of us thought they would be without Baker Mayfield. I think Lincoln Riley is a great coach, and I think Kyler Murray is looking like the guy we heard how great he was, and especially was in high school. Obviously, the competition is going to step up, but this is a big one this weekend for Ohio State, who I would put in that, you know, Clemson, Alabama category of elite talent. Now, there's no Urban Meyer on the sideline this weekend against TCU, but Gary Patterson has a really well-coached team. They have a lot of athletes on both sides of the ball. This is a legit test, and I'm curious to see how Ryan Day, the interim head coach, is going to handle it. I think this is going to be this is one of the best games of the first month of the season, I think.
That's a great matchup. I love that one. Bruce Feldman joining us. So let me go back and talk about some of the teams that you mentioned, like Clemson. For instance, Clemson, Bruce, had a scare against Texas A&M last week. Is that just a tough game on the road, or is that a cause for legitimate concern for Clemson?
No, I think it's a really tough environment to play. Texas A&M has plenty of athletes. I think Jimbo Fisher's done a really nice job with Kellen Mond. There's a dual threat quarterback there. And quite honestly, you know, they're going to – at Texas A&M is probably about as talented a team as especially on the road, a tough a game, as Clemson may see in the regular season. I mean, I just don't think the ACC, aside from Clemson, is very good this year. So, to me, they're so good on defense. But I think there are a little bit of concerns, you know, in the secondary that Jimbo Fisher was able to attack somewhat. And we'll see. I mean, Kelly Bryant, the quarterback, he responded well. He's the experienced guy. I think this is a legit playoff national title contender, and nothing I saw last week changes my opinion of that.
Bruce Feldman is my guest. You know, Bruce, speaking of the quarterbacks, what do you make of the way that Dabo Swinney is handling his quarterback situation versus how Nick Saban is handling his quarterback situation?
Jim, you know, I think because Nick Saban is the best college football coach we've ever seen, what he's been able to do in this era, it's hard to question his rationale and how he handles things. It's not always the most diplomatic. It's often not the most diplomatic, but it's hard to find fault with the results. Whereas Dabo Swinney, the vibe around his program, I don't know if I would say it's much more laid back, but it is. There's just a vibe of maybe it's way more upbeat. And I think you see that even in a case of his defense coordinator, Brent Venables, is highly sought after. Probably could have gotten a bunch of different head coaches, but he really likes his situation there. It's not like Dabo Swinney has one offensive coordinator. He has two guys share the role. It works. And I think you see that with his two quarterbacks now, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, who's the hot shot freshman, who everybody raves about, or Kelly Bryant, who's the guy who's been there and worked his way up and is really well-respected by his teammates for that. It all kind of fits well, and I think that stems from how Dabo Swinney manages it. And I just think, whether it's Dabo or Nick Saban, I just think it's vanilla and chocolate where, you know, it can be personal preferences, but you cannot argue with the end product because they both win at an extremely high level and they're able to keep things on track when other places will really struggle with complacency and those kinds of issues. And those guys in their own ways, because I think they're just authentic to who they are, they make it work.
Chocolate all day long. Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, so you had this amazing stat earlier this week, Bruce. Tua is 10 for 10 on third downs for 207 yards and four touchdowns. I mean, for any quarterback to have those kind of numbers would be unreal, but how do you explain a guy who's barely started a game having that much composure in third down situations?
I think he is just wired for that. Having been around him a little bit and talked to people who've been around him a lot, they just said he has this unflappable demeanor. And I remember being around him this summer when he was at this private quarterback camp, and he was talking to a lot of top high school quarterbacks. And the question was really about, how did you handle this where you're the freshman, you're coming from Hawaii, and there's teammates who may be married and come from different places and have all this other investment and time, and they're older, and how do you connect with them? And it was like a multi-layered question. And Tua's perspective is, he naturally simplifies things. He's like, I don't really think about it like that. I only think about they grew up playing the game, same game that I love. And it may have been in a different place. The weather may have been different, but it's still the same game. And I think just how he's wired is not to overcomplicate things, whereas that position as quarterback, whether you're Nick Saban's quarterback or your Cliff Kingsbury's quarterback or Urban Meyer's quarterback, it's a complicated deal, whether it's in college or not, just because you're dealing with, you know, inexperienced guys and all kinds of different systems. And he does not – he just like kind of is always seems to be – at a tempo that is comfortable for him. And he's really talented. He's got a great arm, and he's really got good feet. But I just think it's that kind of poise and presence that makes him really rare. And that's why I think, you know, he's going to be a star, not just in college, but beyond that.
Bruce Feldman joins us. Now, Bruce, this weekend you're going to work Houston, Texas Tech, which means you get a chance to see Ed Oliver up close. I had Major Applewhite on the program earlier this week, and we were talking about what makes Ed so special. In your mind, what makes him so different, so unique?
Two things. You just never see such a high-level athlete who plays as hard on the D-line as he does. Because when you talk to coaches who've played him, they said it's the run stuff down from the backside, the effort plays. You know, one of the coaches I talked to said, we had a play blocked perfectly. It should have gone for 40 yards. And you're like, Ed Oliver runs it down on the other C gap and it becomes a 4-yard gain. You're like, that shouldn't happen. That's not supposed to happen. And he makes that play. He's just got an incredibly high motor. He's super explosive athlete. What I think is also unique about him is when we talk about other great D linemen, and this year is as probably the best crop of D linemen as we've seen in college football. Clemson's got a bunch, Ohio State's got a bunch, but Mississippi State's got, you know, a bunch. With Houston, all eyes are on Ed Oliver. He's the guy. If you're in a triple team anybody, it's him, and he still finds a way to be ultra productive. And I think that's a credit to him. And you know, I can't wait to watch him from field level this weekend because, you know, everybody's always gunning for him, and he still delivers.
Guy's amazing. Bruce Feldman joining us. All right, so another big game in the state of Texas this weekend is USC going to Austin to deal with the Longhorns. Bruce, USC is coming off a tough loss to Stanford last week. They scored just 3 points. How much of that was about Stanford being that good, and then how much of that was about JT Daniels making his first road start?
Look, Stanford has a really good secondary. I was impressed by them. That was our game for Fox last week. The issue I thought that surprised me was Stanford. No, I think coming into the year, most people would have assumed and thought that Stanford's D-line was its biggest question mark. They lost Harrison Phillips, who was a really good player. The year before that, Solomon Thomas was the best D-lineman out west. And there was questions there. And yet, that Stanford defensive front just harassed JT Daniels and shut down the run. I thought USC's offensive line has been a huge disappointment so far, and that's been a problem for USC for now much of a decade. And I don't know how Clay Helton really gets that fixed, because JT Daniels is talented. He's impressive when you watch him play. They got really good skill guys, both at receiver and running back. But if they can't block, it's going to make, you know, Sam Darnold was a little bigger, and he was so creative and extending plays and making things happen. Yeah, he might have some more turnovers than anybody would like, but I think he covered up a lot of flaws that right now with a true freshman, I think that just puts that much pressure on JT Daniels, and somehow this offensive line has got to get a lot better because it's just putting too much on a true freshman to be thrown into the middle of it. And I'm not saying they're forcing him to have to play Superman, but what Sam Darnold did, Sam Darnold, people forget, had a year to get acclimated. JT Daniels is jumping right into the deep end of the pool, and that's tall order for any true freshman.
We've got a couple of more moments with Bruce Feldman, and Bruce, obviously patience is not a strong suit of the Trojan fans. We know this. And then you've got Texas. They're 1-1 after that season-opening loss to Maryland. Then they bounce back. They beat Tulsa last weekend. How do the Longhorns look to you in year two of Tom Herman?
they looked shaky. I mean, we had them week one against Maryland. They were really inconsistent. Talking to Tom Herman coming off the field at the end of the first half, he was like, we're in our own heads. We're trying to be too perfect. So he went to up-tempo to try to get them, kind of get them to settle down. And I think you see that. Right now it's a team a little bit like USC, which I think is struggling with its own identity. I think there's some good players there. If I was a Texas fan, I might be frustrated. But it's only year two, and it's only the beginning of year two for Tom Herman. You know, he showed at Houston he knows what he's doing. I just think that right now you have a lot of one step forward, one step back from this team. And they have, you know, the best leader is Sam Ehlinger, who's a second-year sophomore. And I think sometimes Sam's not going to look great when he's doing it. He missed some throws. He missed some reads. And I think because of that, you have a team that is very inconsistent. And I don't think they have, you know, they have good receivers. The running backs are okay. But it's not like they're playing with right now with anything like what Alabama or Clemson or those guys have. They have good talent. They don't have great talent. And I think so that adds to it. Their margin for error is not what most people would assume it is. And I think, you know, they got to build confidence. And I think this didn't kind of fall apart overnight, and I don't think Tom Herman is going to get it fixed overnight either.
It's going to be interesting. Bruce, one last thought. When you were running down your picks for the week, you gave some love to North Texas, and I had Seth Luttrell on the program this week. Man, I'm so impressed with what he's done with the Mean Green. What would a win at Arkansas mean for him and for that program?
I think he's one of the hottest names in coaching. I mean, it did not take him long. Even before they started winning last year, you would hear a buzz about how the presence he has and the command. He's an air raid guy under Mike Leach, but his personality is very different. He's an old-school Oklahoma fullback at heart. I think he's going to have there may not be as good a jobs out there like there were last year when there's five Pac-12 and five SEC jobs open, but I think Seth Luttrell can be pretty choosy because he knows he's got a good thing in North Texas, and he's going to keep building. His little quarterback's a heck of a player, and he's going to have him for at least another year or two. So I think he can be choosy. I don't think he needs to jump at just a better job. That would be a heck of a win if they can beat an SEC team, and I think they're going to do it. I really was surprised the spread was as big as it was for Arkansas, given how good that quarterback is and what Seth's done at that program in a short period of time.
He's a reporter for Fox Sports and FS1, a national college football insider for The Athletic, a New York Times bestselling author, and obviously locked in. Bruce Feldman, my guest. Bruce, great job. Really nice to have you back. Bruce, have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
That was fun, Bruce. Nice job. Really well done, as always. All right, Bruce Feldman covering a lot of ground talking college football.